We want to try to take our time, but also we want to move kind of speedily if we can, so we can get through the book before 100 years goes up or something. So it's a great book, like I said, and I do indeed enjoy it. Okay, let me go ahead and read some of the scriptures that we'll be looking at, and then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Does that sound all right? It says in verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whether I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of the world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto him, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. Verse 27. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye shall lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Verse 30 says, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for all the folks that come out this evening on this Wednesday night, this old cold Wednesday night, and we're thankful, Lord, that they would come and be a part of this meeting this evening. Lord, we hope that the singing was pleasing to you. We indeed love to sing praises to you, and we can't wait to one of these days seeing you and being with you. And Father, as we begin to break the bread of life and teach this text, we pray that you would grant the unction of the Spirit of God, that I may be able to preach in such a fashion that is understandable to the people. And Lord, if there be anyone amongst us this evening that's lost, may they receive Jesus as their Savior tonight as a result of what they hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I guess if I'm going to give this a title, I would title it Jesus at the Temple. Jesus at the Temple. And that was his house, really, you might as well say, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you agree with me? That was Jesus' house, and he would often go there to teach. And oftentimes how the rabbis used to teach is they didn't preach like I did, run all over the place and jump up and down. What they usually did was they would sit down and they would teach the people. That's what they'd do. And it wasn't no pulpiteering or anything of that nature. They just delivered what the Scripture said. And they let the Holy Spirit of God bring the power to it. And that's what we should do all the way down to the day. Y'all agree? Who puts the power to the punch is the Holy Spirit. So when you come to church to listen to the Scriptures, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind and open your heart so that you can understand what is being said. Because you need to know. We all need to know the Scriptures for ourselves. Why is that? So you can share it with other people. You work on jobs. Some of you go to school. You got neighbors, and sometimes you just run into a stranger. I've had that happen to me before, and the Lord gives you the opportunity to spread the gospel to people. Tell people about the message of the gospel. So we should always be what? Be ready. We always ought to be ready to go with the message and share it with people. All right, let's start at verse 20 and let's work our way down through this grand text, John chapter 8, I don't know how far I'm going to make it, or I don't even know when I'm going to stop. I know I got a starting, or a starting and a stopping point, but we'll just see how it goes. John chapter 8 and verse 20, it says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury. So this, he was at the temple. He was at the temple, and there was a treasury there. And Jesus oftentimes would go to the temple and teach. He would oftentimes go to the temple and teach. I think he enjoyed doing it there. Of course, that was whose house was the temple to? It was his house anyway. He called it his father's house. Matter of fact, on one occasion, he accused them as making the father's house a place of merchandise, because what they was doing is selling all of these goods to people, and they was doing, I mean, they just made it a place of making money. And beloved, a lot of churches end up doing that. It ain't about money. We're thankful to the Lord. He provides money for the church to keep the electric on and different things, and we're thankful for that. But the Lord wants you to do things because you love Him. The Lord wants you to do things for Him because you love Him. There's an old song that we sing in the choir, I will serve thee because I love thee. That's why we do it. We do what we do because we want to please Him, and we want to bring glory and honor and praise to the one that saved our soul. Isn't that a glorious thing? And that's what it is here in this particular text. Jesus spake at the treasury and as He taught in the temple. Oh, can't wait to hear the King teach. What do y'all think about that? You're looking forward to the King teaching and hearing Him teach you? All of knowledge, all wisdom. Oh, and it'll be a wonderful thing to sing too, won't it? We sing that song at our church, what a day that'll be, when my Jesus I shall see. Wouldn't that be a glorious time to think when I read this about Him and I can picture Him teaching there at the temple? What a great thing that must have been for them to hear the greatest teacher that ever walked this planet, to hear Him teach God's Word. Okay. So as He taught in the temple, now notice what the problem is the unbelieving Jews are causing a lot of problems, and they want to get their hands on Him. Can you imagine that? As kind and gentle as Jesus was, but Jesus could keep them away from Him at times, and would. But other times He'd allow them to come in, and then He would address them publicly. And many times He put them in their place, and He could do it. Nobody is wise, and nobody could teach, and nobody knew as much as Him. All right? So, it says here again, no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. What hour is that? What hour is that? Yeah, it's death. He knew His death the whole time He was here. You think about that just for a moment. 33 and a half years old, I think it was, when He died. You can just imagine, all His days, the cross was a shadow to Him. You see what I'm saying? All His days, He would have knew about the cross that He had to take for us. Man, He had a great love for us, didn't He? Why did He take flesh anyway? I mean, I couldn't go to heaven because I'm a sinner. If I got what I deserved right now, I'd go straight to hell. But I didn't get what I deserved. God gave me His what? Somebody tell me. He gave me His grace. You know what grace is? It's defined as unmerited favor. Unmerited means you don't earn it, nor do you deserve it. If I got what I deserved, the earth would open up and I'd slide into hell. But I didn't get what I deserved. God gave me His what? His grace. And it's a glorious thing to have. I love grace. And grace is the reason why we're saved. We're saved by grace. You're not saved by your works, because you couldn't do enough works to get saved. Now, I'm not saying that people that are saved don't seek to do good works. We do because we love the Lord. But we are saved by grace. And the word grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited. What's unmerited mean? It means you don't earn it. You know who earned it? Somebody tell me who earned it. I want you to tell me who earned it. Jesus earned it. We sing the song, Jesus paid it. Oh, Jesus earned it. You know what he does in the new birth? You know what he does when he saves a sinner? He gives him everlasting life. That's a glorious thing, isn't it? He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west, Psalms 103 says. He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west, and he gives you everlasting life. How long is everlasting life? Is it 6 months? How long is everlasting life? It's everlasting. When does it start? The moment you trust Christ as your Savior. And how long does it last? Forever. That's eternal life is forever life. And you need to know that. That's a glorious thing to know. Do y'all think? I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know if I'm going to die even. But if I die, I'm ready to go. I don't worry about such things as that. The Lord comes. I'm not worried about that. I'm looking forward to Him coming. But I'm ready to go up. And it's important that you be ready to go up. It says here, no man laid hands on Him, for His hour hadn't come yet. Jesus had a determined time. I'm not going to go back on the book of Daniel or anything with regards to Daniel's 70-week prophecy. But there was a specific time designed by the Lord when He would die. There is a specific time when He would die. And He knew it. And the Scripture speaks of it. And the Scripture speaks of it. Okay? He goes on to say in verse 21, then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. Ye shall do what? You'll seek me. They'll look after. I want to hear him again. They'll want to be around him again. And he says, I'll go my way and you shall seek me. Now, I want you to hear this right here. Verse 21, and I want you to look at it yourself, tells you the worst thing. What would be the worst thing that could ever happen to any person? Now, I want you to think about that just for a little bit. And then I want you to look at verse 21. Now look at verse 21 and tell me what's the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. Everybody see it? Die in your sins. There's nothing any worse than that. The reason why we preach the gospel, the reason why we preach the message of salvation is so people can be saved from their sins. You see, they will die. And these are religious people. These were religious lost men. They were trusting in their own deeds and things, and wasn't. And they rejected Jesus, the only Savior there ever will be. They rejected Him. You reject Jesus. Listen to me. You don't have no hope. You don't have no hope. So He says, "They shall die in your sins." And Jesus said, "Whether I go, you cannot." Whether I go, you cannot come. Where did Jesus go after He finished His work here on earth? Where did He go? Go to the book of Acts 1. He ascended back to heaven. And you know what He's telling these people? He's telling them, you're not going. That's what He's telling them here. Let's look at it again. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way. Ye shall seek me. And you'll die in your die in your sins. What's the worst thing can happen to a man or woman or boy or girl? What's the worst thing? For someone to die in their sins. Nothing any worse than that. How do you keep from dying in your sins? You trust Jesus. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what again? Here's an example of it in Scripture. One example I always give you. I just give you one. I give you others, I'll just give you one. What's the main one old Jeff likes to use? Love that thief on the cross, man. Two thieves, both of them criminals, malefactors, the Bible called them. And in the beginning, in 6 hours, Jesus died eventually in 6 hours on the cross. But during that 6 hours, both those thieves mocked in the beginning. Both of them did. Both were mockers. But then a drastic change happened in one of them. That's what conversion does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Conversion took place. His heart was opened. He realized he was about to go out into eternity lost, and he wasn't ready to go, and he knew he wasn't ready to go. What did he do? He looked over at Jesus, and he said, "Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom." He realized Jesus was a king. He realized Jesus had a kingdom. And here's what he said. He wanted to go there where he was at, didn't he? He wanted to go where he was at. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This day, here's what Jesus said to him. This day. Everybody say, "This day." "This day, thou shalt be with me," where at? Paradise. Paradise, just another name. Just another name for glory. All God's people see it. That's a glorious thing right there. So, let's read on down through it. Then, verse 21, it mentions in the latter part of verse 20, his hour hadn't come yet. And when his hour would come to the full length, then he would go to Calvary and pay for mine and your sin debt. That was all preordained by the Master. All preordained by him. Scripture says he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's what the Scripture says. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Calvary wasn't no accident. Calvary was a plan. And he planned that since before the world ever began. The Scripture says of him that he was slain from the foundation of the world. He determined that before he ever said, "Let there be light." Calvary was a plan. It wasn't no accident. He came here for a purpose. He came to die for people like us. Now, here's how I feel about it. I ain't worth that. I ain't worth 1 ounce of His precious blood, but He loved me. Now, I can't tell you why He loved me, but He loved me. And that's why He provided His Son to die for a wretch like me and you. Can y'all fathom that? I can't get a hold of that. I mean, that's overwhelming to my heart to think that He would love me that much. And the Father provided His own Son. And I'm going to tell you this too. And God even poured down His own wrath on His own Son. All God's people say it. Man, that's love. That's love. And that's what He did for us. Verse 22. Then said the Jews, "Will He kill Himself? Because He said, 'Whither I go, you cannot come.'" Now, Jesus was eventually going to go back to heaven. And many of these Judaizers, they weren't coming. They were lost men. That's what He's saying here in the text. He said unto them, "Ye are from beneath." Verse 23. "I'm from above. Ye are of the world. I'm not of the world." So He's drawing the distinction between the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious lost men, and Jesus. "Ye are from beneath." Look, listen to the wording of that. It should grasp people if Jesus was preaching and He said, "You are from beneath." What's beneath? I'm asking. Beneath. Do you believe? I believe in heaven, do you? Do you believe in hell too? You better believe in both of them, because both of them's two different places. Man, you want to go to heaven at the end of your days, and you want to have no... Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But how do you get in Christ Jesus? How do you get in? Yeah, it's a faith access. You got, you access it by faith. You believe it. You realize you're a sinner. And Romans 10:13, I done quoted it once, says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ask Him to save you, He'll save you. Well, I don't feel nothing. You'll feel your way right into hell if that's what you're going by. You can't base salvation on a feeling. My feelings does this. Oh. And damn. I put my trust in Jesus. He died for me. And Jesus says that, here's just what I believe. Are you ready for Romans 10:13 again? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you'll call, what will He do? He'll save you. Or are you going to say He can't? You going to say He can't? No, He can. If you ask Him, He'll save you. But if you don't ask Him, He won't. You got to ask. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ask the Lord to save you, He will. I remember one time, I ain't going to tell you who it was, but it's been a long time ago. I remember there was a boy in the church, and I was preaching, and I knew him. We were, I didn't know him real well at the time. And after I got through preaching, I go back to the back door, and everybody left. And after a while, I was in here. Usually I'm the last to leave on Sunday morning. So I was in here. And what happened is this boy, conviction took over his heart when he's driving down the road. He's thinking about the message. And you know what he did? He pulled off the road. And he got out of his car, and he asked the Lord to save him. And then I was still down here. Then he turned around and he came back. He's turned around and he come back. And I said, would you leave something? He said, no, I didn't leave anything. But I asked the Lord to save me. Is that what I need to do? I said, yeah, that's exactly what. I said, did you do it? He said, yes, I have. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thief on the cross is an example, and other people. That's what the Scripture says. It's pretty plain. Verse 23. Verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he says, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from again. Where are they from? Beneath. Beneath. I am from above. Jesus came down from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said unto you. He said it already in verse 21. Now, you know, when Jesus says something twice, that's a big deal. He just needs to say it once, but he put it twice for emphasis. Now, he said it back in verse 21. Now I want you to look at verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's as plain as you want to put it. That's as plain as you want to put it. Need to believe on Him. Believe that He died for you. And the word believe means to trust in Him. That's the idea of the word believe. You trust in Him. It's more than believing that Jesus existed. It's a fact of history 2,000 years ago. Jesus existed here on the earth. You got to trust that He died for you on Calvary and was buried and rose again the third day. That's what the gospel message is. And the Scripture says it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. Okay? Verse 24 again, I said, therefore, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So, what's the most prevalent need that we have today? What's the most important thing to have today? What's the most important thing that you don't want to, that you wouldn't want to happen to you today? I don't want to die in my sins, do you? Man. Do a lot of services, do a lot of funeral services. And then I ain't going to get into how many, but do a lot of them. And the first thing I want to know when I'm going to do a service, what do you think I want to know? Somebody tell me. Are you saved? Was they saved? Did they trust Christ as their Savior? Did they do it? And if they did, and the family knows they did, and they trusted Jesus, boy, it's a reunion service, really. You get together and you celebrate the homecoming. Man, I don't want anybody to whine around over me when I pass. Man, I want them to sing victory in Jesus and present the gospel to the people that are there. I'd be better off than you anyhow. Knowing Jesus, y'all agree with me? Man, what a horrible thing. What a horrible thing it is to live a life without knowing that you have eternal life. Let me tell you something I know. I know I'm saved. I know it. I don't think, wish, or hope it. I know it. I know if Jesus would come right now, the trumpet would sound. I know I'm going up. I know if I get run over by a bus when I leave here tonight, and I hope it doesn't happen, but if I would, I know I'm going up. I know where I'm going. I don't know how a man could live a happy life without that. Do you? How could you live a happy life without that? Aging would be a horrible thing for us, wouldn't it? Wouldn't aging be a horrible thing? You know, it takes that aging thing a little bit. It knocks that down a whole lot when you're born again. I ain't real hip on aging, but we're all going to age, ain't we? But guess what? Each tick of that clock back there just brings you closer home. And every day that you live on this earth, it's just another day closer to paradise. You don't remember that day, Stewie. Yeah, they'd come on the loading dock and they'd say, hey, preacher, how you doing today? And I'd say, just another day closer to paradise. Isn't that a glorious way to live? Think about it. Isn't that a glorious way? That pumps me plumb up. That's a glorious way to live. This aging thing ain't the greatest thing in the world. But it's coming closer. We're just getting closer. And that doesn't make you feel better. We're just getting closer to it. And the closer we get, man, and once we get there, no sadness, no sorrow. No sadness, no sorrow, no death, no pain. Think about living in a place like that. That's why we sing this song, What a Day That Will Be. Get to see the King. Let's go a little bit farther. Verse 25. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said from the beginning. It keeps having to repeat. I don't know if they was just trying to catch him in his words or what, but they would repeat themselves a lot to him. And that's what they do in here a lot. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said to you from the beginning. Lawyers will do that all the way down to the day. They'll keep repeating themselves, then they'll reframe it. That may be what they're trying to do to catch him. Because they would try to catch him in his words, and they never could do anything with the master. They couldn't do nothing with the master. So that may be what they're trying to do. I don't know for sure, but it could be that. I have, let me turn my page over. I have many things to say. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. That's heard of the Father. Can you imagine getting to hear him share the truths that he knew from the Father? This amazes me. As I said at the beginning, I believe I said it at the beginning of the message this evening, they were going to arrest him on occasion. Remember, I told you that? They were going to arrest him on an occasion. And they sent the temple police down there to arrest him, so to speak. And they went down there, and I guess he was preaching at the temple. And next thing you know, they turned around and they all came back. And the heads of the Pharisees said, "Well, where's he at?" And here's what they said: "No man spake like that man." They just got spellbound when they heard him preaching. Man, when Jesus preached, it was something. "No man spake like that man." Had full unction of the Spirit of God. It's just great. Y'all look forward to seeing him? I hope you do. I hope you do. Verse 26, "I have many things to say. I have many things to say to judge and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake of who? Of the Father. He spake of his Father. He spake of his Father. Verse 27, "They understood not that he spake of the Father. Then said Jesus to them, when ye have..." All right, now I want you to look at verse 28. "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man..." Let's stop there just for a minute. What's it mean to be lifted up? Somebody tell me. He's talking about the cross. He referred to that as being lifted up, because he'd be lifted up on a cross. So he's talking, this is in his earthly ministry, see. His earthly ministry was 3.5 years. So he wasn't here a real long time, was he, if you think take 3.5 years. So he's mentioning to them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man." Did Jesus know he was going to die? Hey, can I ask you a question? Did he come to die? He sure did. Why? I'm asking you. Why? I couldn't go to heaven without him. He loved me that much. That 2,000 years ago, when he... You know, we sing that song, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." Man. He loved us that much. Didn't deserve a thing. Didn't deserve an ounce of it. That's what he did. He was lifted up on a cross. Why did he do that for? Well, he had to pay our debt. He had to pay our sin debt. And it couldn't be... there was all kinds of men in the... Back in that died on a cross. They put crosses everywhere, and the Romans hung them on there. It's different with Jesus. Jesus was our sin substitute. He died in our place rather than us dying. Jesus died in our stead. We couldn't be saved without it. And that's the idea of lifted up. Lifted up is describing him being put on a cross. Could he have come down off of it? Sure. Could he call 10,000 angels? Yes. He didn't even need 10,000 angels. All he had to do is think it. But he didn't. Years ago when he died for Jeff Arthur. And I couldn't go to heaven without him. I had to have my sin substitute. I had to have my penalty paid. And I left something out. Do y'all remember what it is? I needed his righteousness. I needed his righteousness. I will explain this to you one more time. Out of the million times that I've explained it. It takes 100% righteousness to go to heaven. That leaves every one of us out. Are you 100% righteous? No, no. That's why the Scripture says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all done it. We've all broke God's law. But when you trust Jesus as your Savior, here's what happens. Not only is your, we just talk about Jesus taking care of our sin, right? Our sin is charged to Jesus. Okay? Are you still with me? Jesus' righteousness, was he 100% righteous? That's charged to you. All God's people say it. Hey, that's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be saved. And when you go to the book of Revelations and you see all those saints pictured in heaven, one more time, tell me what color the robes are. White. White robes, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, God's people say it. I think I'm going to stop there. I had about 10 more verses to go, but I think that's a good enough stop point. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Hope the Lord bless you.